Hey everyone, this is Arlen. I recorded an impromptu interview with my dear friend Rachel Nelson, who also is the co-writer of It's About Damn Time, our book together. And this was recorded on Wednesday morning before things went crazy. So the intention was to release it the same day, but then other news got in the way, of course. It was definitely top of mind. But anyway, it's just a quick 15 minutes where we were scheduled to have a book meeting, which we ended up having afterwards. But we were just chatting about the UK, the new UK lockdown, things in California where I live and in Texas where my family lives and the rest of the country and then the rest of the world. And I just thought, hey, let's get it on audio because Rachel has appeared on the podcast in the past. Early in the coverage of the pandemic that I had back in last spring. So she was the one who kind of told us what it was like in the UK at the time. So I thought I would do this quick update. So this is what that is. Listen in if you'd like. I think there's some great information, some questions that really she helped me answer just as someone, as a citizen of the UK, going through this again with COVID and politics and everything else. So I hope you enjoy it. It's just a little extra here. And then we will, as we said at the end of this clip, we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming, whatever that is these days. See ya. Your third
lockdown,
but it's pretty quick now. Mm-hmm. And my question is, I know a lot of people seem to be upset with Boris and the lockdown itself, but I would think that this would be welcome news because it seemed like people were being complacent. And if they had a lockdown in LA or California, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah. I think it's like mixed feelings because like for me, this lockdown is no different from the situation I was in before, because we've also, between lockdowns, we've had all these different rules. So we've had tiers, we've had levels, you know, all kinds of stuff in different parts of the country where you could do some things and you couldn't do other things. And where I am, I was in tier 4 anyway, which meant you can't go to anyone's house, you can't... I think you could maybe, I'm not even sure if you could meet outdoors with anyone in tier 4 anyway, or more than a couple of people. But, you know, pubs, restaurants closed, shops closed, etc. Lockdown is different, obviously, because it means that schools are closed. And that's the thing that they've been trying not to do for a while. So the last time we had schools closed was in the first lockdown, back in March. In the second lockdown that we had in November, schools stayed open and they tried to kind of continue with that because they really didn't want to close schools. But, you know, obviously schools are a place where, you know, the virus is going to still pass on to other people. Mm-hmm. And there kept being a lot of... concentration on the idea that children don't really get the virus as much, or if they do, it's not as serious for them and things like that. But obviously there are many, many adults that also work at schools and shouldn't have to, you know, just give up their lives to go and be a teacher or a lunch lady or whatever, you know. Yeah. So I think the frustration comes from the fact that it feels like this is going on for much longer than it should have done, because we should have been in a more severe lockdown for a longer period of time. Each time we've come out of a lockdown, it's been too early, in my opinion. The rules have been too lenient. And when we've gone back into a lockdown, it's been usually about a month after the health experts have advised the Prime Minister that we need to go into a lockdown. So they're leaving it until the last minute when there's no other possibility every single time. And, you know, in that month or whatever, we're losing lives. So it's just, it feels a bit like the whole thing is being stretched out and more people are dying than need to. And not only that, but because the government has had so many turnarounds, I mean, we had this lockdown on Monday, and so many schools went back on Monday. Kids went to school for a day. The day before, they asked Boris Johnson, is it safe for kids to go to school? And he said, yes, schools are safe. And then the next day, he put us in lockdown that evening. Schools are no longer safe. So it feels like at every point, they've had to do a complete U-turn on what they've said, which has meant that it feels like that's going to keep happening. So when it comes to things like the vaccine,
Vaccine,
it seems like, you know, okay, we're all just waiting for the vaccine. But obviously, the rollout of the vaccine is a huge project. And with every other huge project that's been a part of this, like the track and trace, they have all gone wrong. So it's kind of just everyone is miserable expecting this to just keep going on for who knows how long, really.
It feels like the trust has eroded, if there was any to begin with, because it's haphazard and slapshot and inefficient. And what that sounds like to me is America. It sounds very much like these two, and I can say it, you haven't said it, but I'll say it. It's like these two buffoons, Boris and Trump.
Absolutely.
Trump hasn't even mentioned it in weeks, so I don't even know if I can say that he's haphazard, because I just think he's careless and doesn't, could care less because it doesn't affect him. But the point of it is, it would be one thing to go through this trauma once and say, oh, well, the boat's shaking and we got to all come together and just do what we got to do. But it's happening over and over and over again. And as you said, not in an efficient way. So there's no like real view of, okay, this is, we have to do this as adults because it's working. The good news, I think, is that I think help is on the way in the US, and I think help is on the way in the UK, and I think help is on the way other places. And let's not even, we would have an entirely different conversation if we were talking about other countries that are much worse off than we are when it comes to even having access to these vaccines. So for us to be, to two of us, the UK and the United States, to be such rich countries with so many resources, and for us to be doing such a poor job of this is just a slap in the face to those in other countries who would just be happy to have the vaccine in front of them.
I think it says a lot about our ego as countries as well. You know, like we think that we're up there, like leading countries and everything. And, you know, we're sort of like the ones for other countries to look to, but we're not doing anything right. You know, like, and I think there's a similarity between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump in that I think there's a certain extent to which people aren't surprised by their lack of efficiency, and getting things wrong and kind of looking stupid because that's part of their thing. You know, I think it's with Boris Johnson, nobody really expects him to be good at his job. So it doesn't matter that he's not good at his job. It's not, you know, shocking to anyone. And so people don't expect enough from him, I think. You know, I think we should be expecting more from someone who is running our country.
Well, I have a very serious question. As someone who has watched 1.5 seasons of The Crown in a 1 month period over the December time period, what I understand is that our queen should be able to just give him a stern wagging of the finger, and this should all be over. Why? What is the relationship? What is the influence truly as a citizen that you know that the Queen has over Boris?
So I would say that I am definitely not the greatest person to ask about this because I don't follow the monarchy. I don't have a lot of information about it. From my understanding, it's very much just a, what's it called? Yeah, like there are things that are done, like they have to go and see the Queen, like when they're voted in and stuff, and it's like, oh, but the Queen's never going to say, nah, I'm not, I don't like this one, pick someone else.
No. I would, so you're exactly the right person to ask, because I want to ask someone who doesn't follow it and who lives there, though, you know, who lives by, because the Crown television program would have us believe that if the Queen were to bat an eye, lash in the wrong direction, it would mean off with their heads. Now that they do a great job of explaining that, you know, there's two sides of this and etc., but I you know, I'm being a little silly, but I am also saying, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Trump was first elected. I honestly, and I consider myself to be bright and sort of with it, I honestly thought to myself, well, this is a mistake, obviously. Obviously, the Russians influenced this. He didn't really win. Obviously, this is wrong. But now that he's there, of course, what we have been told generations about, you know, men in black coming in, putting a little dart in the neck, replacing this subhuman with, you know, real boy parts, was going to happen, and they would put him behind some sort of trick library wall that you pressed a button and it went around, and that adults would come in and there would be some real stuff going on. And it may not be in my party, and it may not be what I appreciated, you know, policy by policy, but of course he doesn't just get to run amok. That doesn't, like, make sense.
Let him have that kind of power.
Yeah, I honestly thought there are people pulling the strings elsewhere, and that when they're activated in such times, and most likely they are older white men, therefore they're not going to let this buffoon make them look stupid. Well, it didn't happen. And now we just know that that White House is a White House, and it's just a place where anybody on this earth of a certain age can be president of the United States.
Yeah. I thought when Trump was voted in that, you know, it could only be a matter of time until he was impeached for something, which obviously then eventually he was, but nothing came of that.
Not one thing.
I didn't think he would make it through the 4 years, you know.
Yeah.
I thought if anything, he would just be bored, maybe just get someone else to be doing all of the like hard work, which is not to say he hasn't done that, I guess. But
he actually hasn't. He hasn't had anyone doing anything.
Have so much power.
Yeah. I mean, at first too, after that first thing wave went by, then we thought, okay, he's just going to have Pence do everything. Pence may be the living embodiment of a wax figure of a KKK member from 1920. This is my description of him. But he can, you know, write and sign a paper, and he can say a few words and string them along into a sentence that makes sense. So he's obviously going to just be doing everything while Trump golfs and meets with people and has these rallies. Didn't know that Trump would do so much to destruct and to be so bold in his actions. It's almost like we underestimated Trump's evil.
Yeah.
And his ability to accomplish that evil.
Yeah. Because I mean, he hired a lot of people, didn't he? You know,
he went in and just
like the first year, he was like, okay, this is my team. No, I don't like them anymore. Get some different people in, you know.
Like every few weeks.
For me, I think it is a, it makes me have less respect for the Republican Party, that they would continue with him as the head of the party, you know. And there, I remember when he was first voted in, there were a few Republicans that had stood and said, "I can't stand behind this guy as, you know, as the president," sort of thing. Like, I don't, this shouldn't, he should not be our guy, you know. And I just think, like, along the way, like, with all these things that have happened, there should have been more people from, like, that side of things speaking out against him in terms of just democracy, you know, and like, actually, this guy's making us all look bad.
Well, we both have some interesting people. How long is Boris around? Because I know when Trump leaves, how long is Boris around?
We've got like another 3 years, maybe. We have like a 5 year term, might even be 4 years now, actually.
The Crown taught me that he could ask for, he could stay on if he gets voted in again, right?
So he can run again, like after that, like 5 years. I don't think there's anything to stop you from running again. I might be wrong about that, but this the election that elected him in was like December 2019, so we're really at the beginning of our 5 years with him. So,
Whoa. That's trippy. That's
and
trippy. Well,
we've had a conservative government since 2010 now. So it's really bad
Yikes.
time.
Yeah. Well, good times. Good times. I'm glad we had this conversation. Thanks for giving me your take on it. I think what we'll do now, Rachel, is we'll have our scheduled meeting. How's that sound?
Sounds like a good idea.
All right. And then your name is Rachel now. I can stop calling you Bettina. Or what was I calling you? Babette?
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Babette. Yeah. Thanks, Rachel. We'll do our original scheduled programming now.
Okay.